GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
Dr. David Cloutier, the VZ Vet Clinic, sitting right behind the BPG over in SS7A. And we got for you a question on the MTG text line. Listener sending us text message 601-207-GHRT, 601-207-4478. Doc, this person writes to us, my four-year-old lab licks the grout lines on my tile floor whenever she sees the shiny reflection of a phone or a mirror. You know how you use the phone or the mirror, okay, and you make that little... Well, apparently this dog is...
Your floors must be sparkling clean in your home, person who's writing this.
Shiny, clean.
Yes, shiny. maybe she's just getting very anxious. What's the deal, Doc?
Yeah, you know, just like people, obsessive compulsive behaviors, so there's some people that have just these behaviors, repetitive behaviors that they do that are kind of... somewhat out of their control. So the same thing happens with our dogs sometimes, and we'll get these OCD things. And so breaking them of it, that's going to be a little bit tricky. Do we, you know, just kind of be really careful about not providing any opportunities for to have the shiny device with a reflection? Or can we do a different behavior? So if every time I pick up my phone, the dog's instantly starting to look for where's the reflection going to go and where am I going to start licking the floor? Instead, I call the dog over, have him sit, start to interact with him, then pick up my phone and start to do this. So again, it's that replace the undesired behavior with the desired behavior. So I come up with something else to do, put that behavior in place and try to use that to prohibit them from doing the licking the grout. Not that the licking grout's necessarily going to hurt them any, but it'd be nice for the dog not to have this behavior that is kind of out of their control that they're doing all the time.
You don't know where that grout's been.
Yeah, you know, it's probably been right there on the floor for a long time. But so that's one of our hallmarks. There's different things we can do for behavior modification. And probably one of the most common ones we do is called counter conditioning, where we come up with another behavior that is essentially prevents them from doing the undesired behavior. The classic one is, I don't want my dog to jump. Well, you can yell at them all day long for jumping, or you can teach him to sit, because sitting and jumping are kind of mutually exclusive. So we supplant the jumping behavior with the sitting behavior. And it gives you something positive you can do and something to work towards. Plus, if you teach them a good desired behavior, you can use it for other things. So at the door, when the UPS guy comes, make them sit and things like that.
I imagine a lot of people ran into this at the Super Bowl party Sunday night. We did. There were two dogs there. Both of them wonderful. We love them both. One wants to get in everybody's plate.
Mm-hmm.
The other one didn't. The other one doesn't give a darn. It would if you offered it, but didn't bother. But the younger one was determined to have a Super Bowl meal.
Snack. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you put your hand out and you say no and things like that, because you don't want that.
Want them drooling on your pants either.
Well, worse than that, you got chicken bones and things like that. Yeah. You don't want to get caught. So is there any simple way to train a dog not to beg at the table?
Boy, one of the hardest things is once it's a learned behavior, it's much harder to break. And you can always tell who's the person in the group who is the most likely to be like handing out little tidbits, because that's the one the dog is always sitting in front of. Yeah. And at our house, it's our son, Mark. He comes home and the dog's right sitting in front of Mark because he's the most likely to be the one to dole out some food.
Feed me.
And the dog looks at me and goes, it's not dinner time, so I'm not even going to bother with him because he doesn't dole out food. And same thing at VZ Vet staff meeting. Tuka will have certain people that she sits near, and she knows that they're more likely to have food fall off of their lap onto the floor. That's not an easy habit to break, though. Once they start doing it, it's worked. They've begged and gotten food enough times that it's a very effective technique. So tricky one. Yeah.
Here's a nice text message to you. I have three dogs that always have food in their dish. One is getting fat, while the other two are a very healthy weight. What is the easiest way to put one on a diet and not punish the other two for her gluttony?
You know, that's a tricky one, because there are some dogs that self-regulate really nicely. And then there's other dogs that do the seafood diet. If they see food, they eat it. And so that's tricky, because really the only way that I can think of is somehow, if I want to continue to free feed, I've got to put that food in a place where the one dog can't get to it. Sometimes there's a size discrepancy and I can use that to create a little place that the little guys can get to. But otherwise, there's not really a good way. There are a couple companies that make pet foods that, in theory, satiate a dog. So they eat some, they feel full, they stop eating, and so that whole eat till you're gonna explode thing doesn't happen. That's a tall order. That's a really tough one. And you can try some of those, and maybe we get lucky and that one dog that's getting overweight feels more full and eats less. But I wouldn't hold out a lot of hope that that's going to work. It's a tricky one. It's kind of like the buffet problem that we all have.
I can't even imagine separating their bowls is going to do a lot of work, because you can ferret out, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you have two little dogs and you can create a little space that they can get into, and the Labrador Retriever can't get there because he's too big. But we do it with cats too, where we have a certain diet. But with the cats, if you have one cat that's kind of overweight and can't jump and the others can, we put the food up, and that can work for the cats, but not so easy with the dogs.
Well, most people with pets, and I was the same, it's kind of hit and miss. You kind of feed the dog the way you think the dog, you know, some people feed once a day, some twice a day. Is there a sliding scale of dog weight to amount of food?
Like the insurance scales. Is that we're supposed to look at to tell us how much we should weigh.
If you weigh 12 pounds, you should get 2 cups or 3 cups.
I'm so glad you said that, George, because all the time, owners will come in with, let's say, a Labrador Retriever that really should be under 70 pounds, that's 110. And they say, well, I'm following the bag. It says for a 110-pound dog, you should get 8 cups a day. And I'm like, well, that would be for 110 correct pounds. This guy, you should be following the bag for the 60-pound weight. And the recommendations on the bags are frequently very generous. So I would say they would hold true for a dog that is getting several hours of fairly heavy exercise a day, which most of our pets are not getting. So usually we're recommending less than what is written on the bag. For the couch potato, it's winter, I'm not going out today, dog. So frequently your veterinarian can help guide you through that, talking about that body condition score. Are they a 4 or 5 where they should be? Are they the 7, 8, or 9 and we got to intervene?
Well, most dogs will eat pretty much if you put it in your face.
Yes.
How do you know when a dog is legitimately hungry?
So, you know, that's this tricky one that we talk to new pet owners about, and I kind of love this discussion. What I tell owners, especially with a growing dog, so their nutritional needs are changing, is if I put food in the bowl and the dog walks away from it, no question, I've given them more than they need for that particular meal. Mm-hmm. So I will adjust what I'm putting in until they're just finishing it. But how do I know if I didn't put enough in there? Because they finish it. And what I always say is, if they finish it and then they lick the bowl and they look at you, and then they lick the bowl and look at you, and then they try to eat the bowl and they won't leave the bowl, and I look down, I'm like, ooh, I'm seeing more ribs than I think I should. Mm-hmm. All right, probably time to up the food allotment a little bit. And boy, with a growing puppy, with growth spurts and activity levels, you feel like you're regularly adjusting the amount of food you're putting in their bowl. And in reality, you probably should be.
This person writes to us, speaking of feeding, how do you slow one down from eating what you put in front of them in their bowl? The food just disappears. Or is there a great concern about the fact that Hoover is vacuuming up the Alpo in 3.2 seconds flat?
You know, there's some people that worry, that causes bloat or gastric dilatation vivalis, this deadly condition dogs can get.
Did you understand a single word he just said?
Yeah.
We're right on that.
So there's some people that really worry that eating too fast can cause some stomach problems. The reality is most dogs hoover up their food pretty quickly. There are dogs, however, that eat too much, throw it up, and we really want to slow them down. There's a couple ways to do it. One is put it on a cookie sheet, put it on a really large surface so they can't get to all the kibble at once. They got to chase it around a little bit. So I'll do that. Or they make bowls that have these little protrusions or knobs that stick up out of the bottom that they end up having to chase the kibble around these things to get them. Other people have taken a pretty good size, like softball size round rock, and put it in the bowl, and they got to kind of move the rock out of the way to get to the food. So there's a few ways to do it, but for a lot of dogs, if it's not bothering them any, I just let them eat their food quickly. They're not about the cuisine so the dogs don't sit back, have conversation, enjoy their surroundings, and enjoy the fine tastes of what they're eating. They're more about get it in there as quick as they can.
Well, this person, right? My wife says I eat too fast, but I'm not bloated or sick.
Yeah.
I think that's a human actually typing us.
What, yeah.
Well, dogs swallow it whole pretty much sometimes.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of chewing.
What do you depend on, the peristalsis?
So dogs, their saliva actually has some pretty effective digestive enzymes. So as they're kind of chomping off chunks and they just basically chunk it up small enough to get it down, that starts the digestive process. Then it continues in the stomach. But yeah, their system was kind of designed to, you know, get as much food in there as quick as we can before someone else pushes me out of the way for it. So it's really not essential for them to spend a lot of time eating.
Dr. David Cloutier of the VZ Vet Clinic. If someone wants to track you down on the interwebs.
Oh, they could try VZVet.com and we'll try to answer their questions or take care of them.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.